Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. You know, guys, have you ever wondered about, you know, the magic of Avalon? There was a book way back when, The Mist of Avalon. Have you ever wondered about the Grail and what that was really about? Well, my guest tonight, Ann Kate Sullivan, is going to help us understand. We have two books of hers that we're going to talk about, and this is going to be a riveting information sharing, intuition growing, opening show. So, you know, sit back, relax, and learn, because we got a lot to share tonight. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But the real question is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choice is the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living. And again, that's from my website, and that's MoniqueChapman.com. In the Me Too era, women take strength from the divine feminine essence passed down through the legends and the lore of the Celtic goddess and heroines. My guest tonight, Dr. Ann Kate Sullivan, is an award-winning and best-selling author focusing on mythology and folklore for the modern age. Sullivan's series, Legends of the Grail, includes 2 highly acclaimed books. The first one is Heroines of Avalon and Other Tales, and Legends of the Grail, Stories of the Celtic Goddess. Dr. Sullivan obtained her BA with honors from Holland University, her master's and doctorate in literature from Columbia University and King's College in London. She continues to study with British experts on Celtic myth and legend, including John and Caitlin Matthews. Dr. Sullivan is a member of OBOD, the Order of the Bards, Ovates, and Druids, and she is also involved with the Widwan School and practices the Diamond Approach to Awakening. Now, after obtaining her master's in spiritual psychology in 2006, she began working with individuals in small groups. She loves to assist creative women and men who are beginning to awaken to their true nature. Because she loves writing, she tutors a few emerging authors each year, and Dr. Ann Kate Sullivan is also the author of an award-winning series of inspirational children's books that has won more than 30 literary awards for her works. Now, you can check her out at her website, and that's AnnKateSullivan.com. Let me spell that for you, AynCateS. Sullivan.com. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, it's great that you're here. I absolutely loved your books, folks. I don't say this too often, but when I do say it, it's truly true. And she's written 2 books, Heroine of Avalon and Other Tales, and the second one is Legends of the Holy Grail, Stories of Celtic Goddesses. Both are keepers on my bookshelf. Okay.
Yes.
You guys know I get about 30 books a week, so it's impossible to keep all. But the ones I do get, if they don't make it on air, I give them to my students. But these I'm holding for me. So thank you, Anne, so much. You know, I don't know too much about what you wrote about, and that's why I wanted you on as a guest, because I wanted to learn. I've had other people on talking about what you talk about, and they were great people, but it just didn't reach me. And these two books reached me. Folks, she writes in a story form, but it's an engaging story, and she just puts little tidbits of learning throughout each story. Okay, and you get it. You don't have to wonder, well, is she trying to teach me something? You absolutely get it. So, and thank you, thank you, thank you for what you have provided us with.
That's a lovely introduction. I appreciate it.
Okay. Now, what inspired you to come up with this series, A Legend of the Grail?
Well, I think we always begin in childhood, don't we? And I remember sitting in my grandmother's kitchen, and she's stirring a pot of soup, and I grew up in Virginia, and we have a farm that was a land grant from the King of England. And so she's sitting, and we're way out in the country, and she's stirring this pot of soup, and she's telling me about the Knights of Northumbria and the Kings of Scotland and the people that we came from. So luckily, later in my life, through my writing, I was given an overseas research award to go to King's College London, and I made a beeline to Bamborough Castle to find out about my people. And this was very exciting for me. You know, my inner child was completely wondrous and enthusiastic. And up in that Bamborough Castle area, now we're in England, Northern England, I started hearing stories of the Ladies of the Lake. Ooh, who are these mysterious beings? So I became very curious, and that just led me down to Glastonbury, and which is also known, its mystical name is Avalon, the Isle of Glass. So that took me on an adventure. And then I was given a little stipend to go to the west coast of Ireland, because in Ireland they have, and it's still going on, there's a literary renaissance going on. Once upon a time, if you told stories about the Gaelic people and the empowered Celtic women, you got killed. But now it's different. Now the Celtic people, the Irish people in particular, want to remember the stories of the men and women of their true lineage. And so I was able to walk through and go to these landscapes where some instances, like the story of the Kaliak, these stories are 10,000 years old. You can sit on these old cairns and go, oh my goodness, you know, I get maybe 90 years or whatever on this planet, and this is an ancient old woman, and somehow sitting there, I could feel my grandmother. You know, I could feel my grandmother there. She's still stirring that cup of soup, and we're laughing together. We're laughing. I'm finding my old woman of the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely beautiful story, and I love how you were open and willing to identify who you truly were. Now, you write, you know, about the Grail. What is the Grail? I mean, I saw a movie, I think it was with Tom Hanks, I can't remember the name of it right now, and they were saying that the Grail was a person. Other people think that the Grail is a cup. Other people think that the Grail never really existed and it's just an energy. So what is the Grail to you?
Well, so if you look at all kinds of stories, you might think of the Grail as Mary Magdalene. You might think of the Grail as the cup that Christ's blood was held in. And other people say it's an emerald. Other people say it's a blue stone. When I started looking for the Grail, I really was thinking about the four hallows. And the four hallows you see in a regular deck of cards. There's a cup, which is a Grail. There's a spear. There's the spear of Lu. That's like your inner lightning, your inner sparkle. There's the stone of destiny. And then there's the sword of truth. So in that sort of Celtic tradition, when you start to go to find yourself, that's what you go looking for. You start looking for your cup. And if the cup, if you just think about the shape of a cup, it generally represents the divine feminine. In the Celtic tradition, it's the cauldron, or it's the goddess of the land. And in that old tradition, the goddess of the land, if someone wanted to be a king or a hero, the goddess of the land had to say yes. or even if you want to be a heroine. So if you're going on a heroine's journey, you're going to look for that cup. That's actually what it is. It's your own soul. It's your own wholeness. It's your true nature.
Okay. Wow. Quite fascinating. Now, you gave us a little history of, the Grail and what you believe the Grail to be. How is the Grail in this really bothersome time here on Earth? How is the Grail relevant? Why is the Grail relevant today? Because it came from ancient times.
It came from ancient times, and it's interesting. So the stories that were gathered, especially in Legends of the Grail, come from a time when there was actually a golden age going on in Ireland. So there was a lot of the tales are written down by St. Patrick and a lot of the monks. And the reason they're relevant now is because there's a story, well, we actually would find it in Heroines of Avalon, of a man. And it's interesting, his man, if you look at his name, it looks like a man gone. He's a king.
Mm-hmm.
And he Yeah, so you can have a great king like King Arthur, who really loves his people and is all about unity consciousness and wants to keep Camelot, the ideal life, together, and you can have a bad king. And we know about bad kings and bad leaders, right?
We got one now in the United States as president. Just my opinion.
When we have a bad king, it's interesting, if you just look at it mythologically, if you have a bad king, what happens is you start to disconnect from the land. And the land, you stop looking after the oceans, you stop looking after the sky, you stop looking after the earth, and then in that disconnection, you create a wasteland. You create chaos, you create wild earth changes, you create a total disaster. And the Grail maidens, the energies of the earth, the devas, when they go underground, you
mm-hmm.
lose them. And so the reason the Grail Quest is important now is, first of all, it's something you can actually literally do. I did it last year. You can literally go to the wells, and you can bend into the wells, and you can say, please show me my divine face. You know, please mm-hmm. show me something about my true nature. Show me who I am. And there's something powerful about leaning down and looking into a well and then having something reflected back to you. You know, this is who I am. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm not just this. There's something eternal in here. So it can be very powerful to actually do a quest. But, you know, from our everyday point of view, this is why I think it's important. Let's say maybe we've watched the news and we're walking along going, oh, no, this is bad. <You know? laughs> What is going on? And we're walking along the road, and you can see a road, and you can see a tree, and you can see a bird. Oh, okay. Or you can walk along the road, and you can see the sparkles that are in the road. And you can mm-hmm. see this tree, and you can see, oh, there's a doorway in this tree. And you can see a little bluebird. Maybe he flies into this tree, and you can go, oh, it's really important for me to connect with my in-world, my own enchantment. Let mm-hmm. me go find my guides. Let me go connect to my friends, my ancestors, the ones that support me, no matter where I find myself, even if it's a wasteland, even if it's a job I don't want, even if it's a relationship that's driving me crazy. Let me connect. So in the Welsh tradition, there's this lovely, there's a lovely tradition called it's a practice. It's called the Gleifiosa. And it's going into nature and practicing your direct knowing, your direct connection with whatever you think the divine is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a goddess, maybe it's the mother goddess, maybe it's, who knows, maybe it's just an intelligence. But what you're doing is you're practicing developing that, so that when you go out into the world, you know when you step out that you have a whole team of guides and allies with you, so that when you encounter something, if it's difficult, then you know, oh, I've got my inner protector. No,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you can't come in. Or you meet someone who's just lovely and you want more of a connection. Oh, you have your kindness and your love and your compassion. Yes. Let's create something together. And so that's why I think it's important now. It's important to ask questions. It's important to keep our imagination open, because I was thinking of your let's get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just got to drop the baggage, or drop the ideas, drop the BS, as you said. Just drop it and allow some new sparkle, some new insight, some creative awareness to come forward. Dalai Lama said the women will save the Western world. It might be very true. And one way that we can, right? One way we can do that is we connect to our inner team. And, you know, depending on our tradition, we might have a different team. Doesn't matter. But we can go and we connect to these wonderful beings that are here to love and support us, starting with our grandmother.
Okay. And if grandma's not here, you can still talk to her. We'll talk about the silver cord a little bit later, but you can still connect with grandma if you have that need. I don't connect with my grandma, but that's okay. Folks, we are speaking with Dr. Ann Kate Sullivan. We're talking about two of her books today. The first one is Legends of the Grail, Stories of Celtic Goddesses. I don't know why I can't say that. I've never said that. It's really interesting.
Well, and the second book. Some people say Celtic, some people say Celtic, but generally speaking, in Ireland, a C is a K, so it's Celtic.
Okay, and when I see that C, I'm like, no, you're not supposed to say it that way. So anyway, Legends of the Grail, Stories of Celtic Goddesses, and Heroines of Avalon and Other Tales. I love both books, folks. It teaches a lot. You're going to get a lot of information. So go get them because it's going to help you on your path. And you can always connect with Anne via her website, and that is AnneKateSullivan.com. That's AnneKateSullivan.com. And you were a member of the OBOD. Tell us about that, who it is, what it is, and why is it relevant today?
So when I'm working with the stories, most of the stories in my book, some of them are 10,000 years old. The most recent ones are 12th century. So we're going back in time to find, you have to really go pre-Christian to find very empowered heroines from the Celtic tradition. Mm-hmm. So what's fun about, in pre-Christian times, before the Roman invasion, which is so up until about the 5th century, there were people called the Druids, and they started out as a bard, which meant that you learned 250 stories of your culture, of your people, and you learned it to keep the spark of light alive in all people, even during the darkest times. There's a spark of light reminding you who you are, reminding you that you're this eternal being. And so the bards would learn these stories, and then there was this next tradition, it's called the Ovates. So we have bards, it's the order of bards, Ovates, Druids. And the next part were the Ovates, which you would probably love. Now, these are the seers. These are the oracles. And they after they had learned their myths and their stories and they understood the culture, they would go into nature and they would start communing, a lot of times with trees, but they would learn to read, what does it mean when an eagle, what does it mean when the eagle comes? Oh, it's a message from spirit, maybe. Oh, I need to pay attention. And, why is he flying west? And, right, so you're starting to pay attention to the world around you, and they had a system. It's called the Om, and they're these sticks, and they have little writing on them. And so they're actually the language of the trees, and they would learn the language of the trees. And if they pulled out one stick, let's say it's a birch. Oh, there's a new beginning, or something's getting ready to move on. We have to let something go. So these trainings went on for a long time, and after 20 years of this sort of training, so it was an in-depth training. Mostly took place in Mona, which is now called Anglesey. Uh-huh. There were these centers. They were centers of learning. They weren't just sort of these odd, fringe things. No, these people really understood that it was important to understand the dream, how the earth was dreaming, the dreams of nature. So they call in. They would crawl into their bellies, into these ancient cairns, and they put their backs up against the stone. They listen to the dreams of the earth. And in listening to the dreams of the earth, they would remember their own dreams, right? Mm-hmm. And so they would know how life is unfolding, how it's meant to be. They really were able to work harmoniously, and they were known as these sort of magical beings. So you'll see these people in Lord of the Rings as Gandalf. or you see them as Merlin in the Grail tradition. But they're also women, too, like Nimue. And a lot of the ladies of Avalon, several of them are in the book. There are 9 ladies of the lake. And these are very magical, mysterious beings. And if you're lucky, and if you meditate with them, and you enter that realm of the imaginal, they might take you to Avalon, the land of women.
Mm-hmm.
So they're wonderful beings. And then the druids, of course, are just master teachers. Some people say that they did human sacrifice and all this. There, in all of my research, I only found 1 sacrifice, and since they were all being killed off, maybe I don't blame them. But I think they were much more like the Brahmin priests of India. I think they were very wise, Indian people. And so what's happened with this new order, which has been around, I think it was made official in 2015. So it's fairly new. It's been around longer than that, but
The resurgence.
There's a resurgence because I think people are interested in direct knowing. They don't want to go through somebody else. They want to make their own connection to this infinite wisdom that surrounds us always. And in some ways, we've forgotten how to do that, And so there are a lot of practices now where we can go back to these old places like Stonehenge. And, when I first started going to Stonehenge 30 years ago, nobody was there. You could have a picnic or hang out with the stones. Now it's like a museum. Hundreds of people around it every day, and it's got a people are interested now.
With Stonehenge, it's interesting. You could go back at one time and basically be by yourself all day, and now there's literally hundreds of people on a daily basis. Can you still tune into the energy if you are not a highly in tune person to begin with?
At Stonehenge? These are power places. Stonehenge, Avebury, Glastonbury. They're very powerful energies. According to my friends that are all dowsers, if you go there, it really activates your energy field, whether you know it or not. I mean, when I go to Stonehenge, I see people taking selfies and they're playing, and maybe they're not really tuning into the deeper energies. I think it's okay. You're still getting activated in some ways. They're ancient temples, and you go because you want to be fed by the earth energies. And what I think is interesting is that these places are really waking up. Every year I go, I'm getting ready to go again this few weeks. Every year I go, and for the dowsers, I don't know how many dowsers are listening, but all of these places they're called dragon lines. They're all these, there are these veins that run through the earth, just like there are veins that run through our body.
Mm-hmm.
And places like Stonehenge are built where there's a lot of crossovers of these energies, so it's very active. And if you're a natural seer, what happens is it awakens your clairaudience, your clairvoyance, your clairsentience. And so it's a good thing to go and put your hands on the stones and really commune with the forces that are there.
Mm-hmm.
If that interests you, some people back up. They go, "Oh, wait, those are really alive."
Well, folks, you want to wake up quickly, take a trip.
And what's really interesting is that for a long time, these places have been sort of sleepy. I've been going to Avebury for a long time. They've been kind of sleepy. They have big, maybe 12, their energy field might be 12 feet wide. They're like 30 feet now. They've completely expanded. I don't know what's going on. All that I know is that they're really online now. And so many people are going, and I smile when I go now because I go, look at all the people that are interested in waking up. They want to remember their origins. They want to remember how Aaron Rude sings with the stars and the stars sing to them. And we want to remember these things because we're creator beings. We want to call in a golden age. We can do this, but we have to wake up, right?
Yeah, And, you know, it's interesting because you talk about we have to wake up, and all over the world there are signs of waking up. Here in the United States, we have Donald Trump sitting in the White House, and that should be a wake-up call for most people. There's Brexit, which should be a wake-up call for most people. And I'm not saying that you should support or not support it, either, but it's about waking up and truly knowing and paying attention and going into that inner knowing that Anne's talking about, because to me that is so important, not just to be sheeple and follow whatever because that's been tradition, but to truly like forge your own path and truly be. And Anne puts that type of energy in both of these books. Now, Anne, in the Legends of the Grail, the energy that I was most drawn to was Danu. Can we talk about Danu?
Yes, I love Danu. So, in all traditions in world mythology, you have the Great Mother, and we might think of her as the archetypal grandmother. Who might, you know, if you don't like your grandmother, there's still a mothering energy, or there's still behind someone who might not have been fully awake behind that. You go back far enough, there's going to be a grandmother that holds the light for you. And so we talk about her as the old woman of the world, but she's everywhere, right? Uh-huh. So Danu, in the Celtic tradition, in the Irish tradition, Danu was the great mother goddess, and all beings were born from her. So it's not an Adam and Eve story where Eve's taken from Adam's rib, but the other way around. Actually,
yes, we gave to them. Thank you very much.
We have the Great Mother, and she arises up out of the ocean, and who knows? Is she from a star? Maybe she's a fallen star, and then she sings with the stars, and then this world is created, and she creates. They're called the Tuatha De Dunan in the old, which is a mouthful, but there are these magical fairy folk. And they sometimes live in Tiernanog, their land that is under the wave, or Tiernaban, which in those stories are in here. Mm-hmm. And you tend to know that Danu is with you because you smell roses. You feel loved. You feel like someone has come and they've wrapped their arms around you, and they're just loving you, completely loving you into existence. That's her energy. Mm-hmm. And then, and Danu, the other thing that I love about Danu is that she watches the things that happen. She watched her for 1,000 years. So she watched her children wane, and then she knew that a dark time was coming. That there was going to be a I don't want to draw too many parallels, but there was going to be a time of the wasteland where, mm-hmm. where the men that were going to come, and they were violent and they were asleep. And they didn't understand the traditions, but that was supposed to happen, because how do you learn unless you give someone space to show their shadow? Mm. And so sometimes it's in the pain and the suffering and the separation, and just that sometimes it just seems like... you really wonder, right? why do we have to have this kind of duality?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you tap into the Great Mother, of course, she holds all of it. In the tradition of the Kaliak, which is the older version of her, she has her big pot. You go into her cave, and she has her big cauldron, and she's stirring all the seeds of the world, all the potentials, everything. Mm-hmm. And in that, she's not rejecting certain things and accepting certain things. She's accepting all of it because she realizes all of life matters. And I think there is something now, to be said for, even if people are asleep or in a shadow or not, they're not sensitive and under, it really behooves us, I believe, to reach out and hold hands anyway, even if we don't have exactly the same belief system.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be hard when someone's rejecting you, when someone, someone goes, oh, these stories are crazy, they don't exist, whatever. It's really important to stay in touch with that wondrous child within each of us, that wondrous child that will continue to ask questions, because if we keep asking questions, if we stay with our inner spark, if we keep asking questions, we're gonna live into something beautiful. Uh-huh. If we give up and give into the despair and the hatred and the violence and things that have been going on the planet forever, really, if we're going to give into that, then we've given into the darkness, we've given up hope. That's no good. I mean, why? We don't need to do that. A true king and a true leader become is a true king can only be a true king when the goddess of the land deems him so. The women have to say, yes, you are our leader. And kings and heroes are important too. The goddess is important, but for different reasons. The goddess is creativity and life.
Mm-hmm.
The king, you know, the king and hero is the protector. He's a protector of the land. He's an organizing principle. He's got a lot of, he also has his own wisdom and his own skills and gifts. So really, the masculine and the feminine need to dance together inside of ourselves as well as in the outer world. And, you know, like you said, sometimes we have to get over it. Get
yeah,
over it. Drop the story. Drop the story. Drop the story.
Yeah, release the bullshit.
Exactly.
Which is your belief system.
Right. And that's actually sort of the hero's journey. You know, you go get your sword of truth and just go like, let's just get rid of what's not real. Let's just get rid of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you find yourself in a boiling pool, right?
Right.
You remember the story of the boiling pool?
Yes.
Elaine.
Yeah, I was going to go there next, but since you brought it up, let's talk about Elaine from her book, Heroines of Avalon and Other Tales. Elaine is quite an interesting character. So let's share about the goddess Elaine.
So in Heroines of Avalon, first of all, I went looking because I kept wondering about the women in Arthurian legend. The stories of the Holy Grail are, I think, in terms of Western civilization, more people know those myths and stories than any other story. So, but I started looking. I was like, you know, I love the 150 Knights of the Round Table. I love King Arthur and what he represents as unified consciousness. But where are the women? Found the Ladies of the Lake. So there's some magic. But where are the Grail champions? And so the first one I found was Dendrana, which I liked. And she's actually the first person to achieve the Holy Grail. In Arthurian legend, was a woman. She was Percival's sister. They usually call her the unnamed sister.
Okay.
But her name is Dendrana. And Dendrana had visions. She was a seer. She was an ovate. She had her own direct connection. She understood where the Grail was, what she had to do. And she was the one that actually opened the gates to Seraph or to heaven. So she actually began the whole Grail quest. And I thought that was so neat to find a female Grail champion.
Uh-huh.
And the other one, the other Grail Knight, is Elaine. And Elaine has been given sort of a bad rap. She was originally a goddess, and a goddess of sovereignty. And you know, as time goes on, she's belittled, as happens sometimes. But in this particular tale, you know, she's the mother of Galahad, who's one of the great knights, one of the great knights. So she has an encounter with Lancelot. Now, in this story, in a lot of these stories, you have to prepare yourself for a mission. Or you prepare yourself, or life is going to prepare you for a mission. And Elaine had to, in order to be a true Grail champion and achiever and become ready for her destiny, she had to enter a boiling pool for 5 years.
Hmm.
And if you think about it, you know, it's not literal. It's an imaginative thing. But if you think about it, I've definitely had days like the boiling pool days.
Yes.
You're going into this place where what's actually happening is the water is steaming off what's not true about you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're losing that sort of identity that maybe our culture has placed on us. Oh, women are this, or you're this because you're from this tradition. So this starts to melt off in the boiling pool. And so in the boiling pool, what's happening is she's actually becoming the Grail herself. She's becoming who she's meant to be as a divine being. And she's also holding the energy, a purified energy, so that her son Galahad can be a true champion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the story, it's actually a love story. So I don't want to tell too much because you might want to dive into it. But I think what she represents is the goddess of sovereignty in each of us. The one who holds an eternal light, so that our children can live on. You know, we're hearing the grandmothers, we're hearing the love of the grandmothers, the grandfathers, we're hearing that. but we're also preparing ourselves so that our children can live into a beautiful future. And Galahad, her son becomes the greatest of all of the champions, an Arthurian legend. So,
yeah. quite beautiful. And I told her that, you know, the two that we talked about, Danu and Elaine, they both resonated very strongly with me. But folks, get the book and read it, and especially ladies, find out, you know, what resonates with you, because that leads you back to who you truly are. There are so many different ways that you can rediscover yourself, and both of Anne's books will provide that information for you. And it's not, like I said, it's not a teaching book as far as step A, step B, step C. It's a very instructional book through story, and she put some nice little tidbits in. Like, tell us about Elaine and the red cord.
The red thread of protection.
Mm-hmm.
There are different cords in the Celtic tradition. You have a golden cord, which is about your life purpose and mission. So and you have a silver thread you spoke about earlier that it, usually you tap in through Arenrood, where you can talk to the ancestors. And then the red thread is a red thread of Pass Me Not, which she needs. It's a red thread of protection. And sometimes, hey, right now these energies are crazy in this world. It's a meditation to wrap this red thread of protection around yourself, so that as you move through the world, you don't forget who you are.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget your power is what I got from it. You know,
exactly.
And instead of wearing it on my wrist, it's on my ankle, and it's for others to see and question.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't necessarily get an answer. It's just part of who I am, you know. So, as I said, there's a lot of information in these books. Now, you have exercise. I don't know. Yeah, I would call them exercises, things to do in the book.
Mm-hmm.
How important is meditation in connecting with who you truly are as a goddess?
Well, this book is particularly for women who want to open up. Men and women, actually, men and women both use the book. I'm working on kings and heroes right now. All these archetypes are important. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. But the exercises here in Heroines of Avalon, we use the ancient Olam, which are the meditations with the trees. And the reason meditation is important is because, let's say, you go 60, if you live your life where you're 60% in your in world, Then when you move out into the world, you have your creativity and you have your gifts and you have your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do in meditation. You close your eyes, you're in your in world, you have a sense of who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm an eternal being of light. Okay, I understand this. Oh, I'm feeling my compassion. You feel all your qualities. And then when you open your eyes, sometimes it's easy to lose all that. Oh, you're back into duality. And
mm-hmm.
so the practices in the book help you stay in that place. And as you open your eyes and you move into the world, you're engaging in relationship, but more from a place of authenticity. So I think they can be really good practices for people, especially people who are opening clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, who are interested in awakening and their in-world, and in a way that's based in an ancient tradition. It's not flaky. It's based in really ancient Welsh
mm-hmm.
and British and Irish tradition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very grounded in that. And, you know, what's that day? St. Patrick's Day. I saw green and I'm like, what's that day? St. Patrick's Day is coming up. And, you know, it what I feel is that would be a wonderful day, beautiful day to go within and connect with this energy, because it's all about celebrating this type of energy. Don't drink too much at the time anyway when you're connecting, but, you know, go in and connect with the energy because it's truly beautiful. Now, Anne, if someone wanted to connect with either the OBOD or the Neo-Druid movement, how does one do that? Where do you begin?
Oh, just online. They're really accessible, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people that have joined the ISO thousands. And you just look it up online, the Order of Bards, Ovids, and Druids, and anybody can be a member, and if you want to learn more, they'll send you information.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can. I'm just a member of it. So if people wanted to work with me directly, that's a little different, because I would then take some people on pilgrimages if they
mm-hmm.
really have a calling to meet the ladies of the lake. They really uh-huh. have a calling to go and activate these Avalon archetypes. And I do work with a druid in Glastonbury, and sometimes he will do an Om reading or do an activation for people. So I really love seeing people connect directly to their creative force, whatever that is, however that arises for them, and being willing to enter the imaginal and just drop the illusion and become wake up in this moment in time. We're in a really powerful moment. This mm-hmm. is incredible time. Mm-hmm. I mean, according to the Vedas, the golden age starts in 2025. So we're very close to you know, and maybe that's why there's so much darkness. It just has to be purged.
Yeah.
And well, right?
Yep, the light shone on it and got to bring it up. Unfortunately, we have to live through it. But hey, it's okay because we get to affect the energy in a positive way if we choose. Now, you talk about the Celtic 8-wheel calendar. What is that and why do we need it now?
It's an ancient wheel, and it's a great way if you want to get back in touch with earth energies. And, you know, we've worked with I definitely worked with a lot of transcendent religions and transcendent paths. And I think for me, it was really important to get back in touch with the earth and with the rhythms of the earth, especially because, as we said, there's so much going on. There are energies that are awakening on the planet. Actually, in Blue Ridge Mountains, there are a lot of feminine vortexes that are awakening. So we're being encouraged to step into something that's brand new. We don't know. We're not familiar necessarily with these energies. Now, Danu, some of these goddesses are familiar. If you go into some of these ancient cairns, they have gone through earth changes and they've gone through periods of massive change on the planet, and they lived through them. And so they know how to do that. So that's another reason why it's good to connect with them in meditation, because you can go, oh, okay, I got it. I know how to live through this. I know how to get this little bit more light going on in my body. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so it's a good – I forgot the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was talking about the 8-wheel calendar and why it's important.
8-wheel calendar. Mm-hmm. Right. So the 8-wheel calendar is it's a way. Most people know about the cross court, the winter solstice, the summer solstice, the autumn equinox, and the spring equinox. And the reason that these are important is because in the summer, we're celebrating life, and in some traditions they might really follow Anya, the goddess of light. But generally speaking, in the summer solstice, we're celebrating all the qualities of the masculine that are really positive. And so what's great about that is it's a reminder of what's really fantastic about the masculine, how the masculine shines, and how those energies of rationality and bravery and courage and strength and intelligence, how they operate within us. And in the winter solstice, then we get to celebrate the feminine. Oh, what's really wonderful about her potency, her creativity, her dream world, all of her magical gifts, her mysteries, and you tend to get more of the intuitive awakening. So in the sort of darker times.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the autumn and spring equinox, where we're celebrating relationship at the beginning of a relationship, and then the harvest. So we get all the different faces of who we are as women. We get the child, the mother, the maiden, and the old woman of the world. So, and then the cross quarters, which are feminine energies, and in the British Isles, they're celebrated. People tend not to know about them here, but they're mm-hmm. celebrations, and they're lovely. If you're just developing this inner world, they're really lovely. So we have like the first one has passed now. It's in bulk, or it's also known as St. Bridget's Day. Almost all of these powerful astrological time periods were picked up by the current religion.
Uh-huh.
So St. Bridget's Day, yeah. And that's a time to celebrate new life, And then we have Beltane, which is also Easter, and or it can be. Easter moves around, but Beltane is usually around May 1st, mm-hmm. and that's a celebration of life. You know, so it's a time to go dancing with your friends and look at all the blossoms that have happened. And then there's Lunasa, which is or Lammas, which is where we celebrate the harvest, all what's been given to us throughout the year. Oh, and it's a wonderful time to thank the mother. Oh, thank you for giving us this harvest in abundance. And it's very different than, you know, Monsanto and so forth.
Yeah.
It's really thanking the earth. It's remembering to thank the earth for what she's bringing us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's lovely, even if it's just something very simple. You just sit outside on August 1st and you maybe just put a little bit of sage or something on the earth and just say, thank you. You know, thank you for mm-hmm. giving me my breath, this body of clay that's moving with this breath. Thank you for this moment, for this time and space where I get to exist here. What mm-hmm. a gift. What a gift.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
The last one is Samhain, where Samhain is Halloween, but in the Celtic tradition, it's pretty serious. They crawl into these cairns, and for 3 days, they're really dreaming with the earth. What does the uh-huh. earth want? What is she dreaming? What's happening? How can we co-create with this? How do we dream with her and bring the dreams back out? And I think right now this is very important to do. And whichever way we do it, however we open up our enchanted world inside, you know, whether we fall in an ancient tradition because it excites us, or whether we just do it in the present moment. Oh, what's dreaming? What's dreaming in me? What's dreaming now? And how can I bring this forward into the world?
I love how you put the wonder in it, you know, it's going back to the childlike qualities. However, you know, folks, we all have that inner child, and now is the time, if you're open, to bring it out and allow that inner child to express itself, because it will help you switch your life to a better path. Now, Anne, when we go to AnneKateSullivan.com, what are we going to find there?
Oh, there's a lot on there. You can find all my books. I've written 12 books. I think 10 are on there right now. Some more coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also, there are all sorts of media links and things if you want to hear more shows. And then there's also an events page. So if you want to, you know, sign up to do an event, right, you can find things there. I do some pilgrimages. I'm pretty picky about who I take with me. And if it's really your burning passion, then,
uh-huh.
then we can talk about that. And then I work with people one-on-one who are interested in how their awakening is going. And I work with many, many different traditions in terms of awakening. But and so I'm very open about how that works, because some people think, I'm going crazy, I'm hearing voices, I don't know what's going on, this is crazy, you know, I have this black cat that keeps appearing in my dream. Oh, this is good, you're awakening. This is good,
mm-hmm.
it's the time, it's a great awakening. Let's dream together and see what's happening. We don't want to be frightened of our dreams. You know, we want to embrace this awakening, even though we go, oh, we're going crazy. No, the times are changing. There are new skills, there are new things that we need to work with now. And so it might be that we're becoming very sane, very whole.
It's important, again, if you go within and you pay attention, you become more in tune with yourself, you'll know whether it's insanity, which 99.999% of the time it's not, or if you're just awakening. So, Anne, I want to thank you for being with me today. You've given us so much information regarding the subject that you are so in love with. It tells, it just shines right through everything that you do. And again, folks, the books that we talked about today are Herons of Avalon and Other Tales and Legends of the Grail, Stories of Celtic Goddesses. And again, both are by Anne Kate Sullivan. And you can find them on Amazon or go to her website. They are there for you. To the audience and to Anne, I do appreciate your time and attention. The divine in me honors the divine in you. When you're looking to make your life a little bit better, you can call me for an intuitive consultation. They're offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. consider making the masterful choice of getting to know yourself. Abundant blessings, light and love to all. Namaste.